We're going to finish it off today with a shorter message. It's not going to be super theologically deep as most of the other messages have been. But I do still think like we should like tie a bow around everything. Like we should finish this up with the last message on this day of Pentecost, which is a very special Sunday. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, we've been talking about all these things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But you may feel like all of these things don't apply to you. that might be you. I'm not saying it is you. It could be you. So I talked about how the Spirit sets us free from the burden of the law and from the from our sinful nature, from our sinful being. He's setting us free to live a different life. But maybe you don't oppose the freedom. You may feel bound. You may feel burdened. You may feel restricted. I talked about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, how he's helping us, how he's directing us through our lives and showing us the way, helping us to make the right choices. Maybe instead of guided, you feel lost. Maybe you feel confused. I talked about how the Spirit is compelling us to go on mission, to share our testimony indeed with the rest of the world, to share the good news about Jesus Christ. He's empowering us. He's equipping us to expand the kingdom of God. But maybe instead of empowered, you feel scared. Maybe you just want to sit somewhere in the corner with your testimony rather than sharing it with other people. And last week we talked about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit and how they're available to every single believer. You don't have to have a special reputation or position or anything like that. You don't have to be super holy. But the Holy Spirit wants to empower you with his supernatural gifts to minister to other people. But maybe you feel like you have no idea what the voice of the Holy Spirit even sounds like. You don't feel empowered. You feel completely empty-handed. Now, if that's you, it could be you, I have bad news and I have good news. And I'm going to do the bad news first, and then I'm going to do the good news. But the bad news is not that bad of news, but still. So I have a lot of good news and a little bit of bad news. The bad news is, this is a process. It doesn't all happen, bam, at once, and now you're this new person, and everything, like you read in the Bible, you feel like it applies to you, you can live it out, you're like, there's no problem, like you've got this whole new, there's this new reality in Christ that applies to you if you've made a decision for him, but it doesn't always feel like that's you, and that's okay. This is a process. We're learning to live in the new reality that we have in Jesus Christ. We're learning to live in the new kingdom that we've been set into. I think it's Colossians that says that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. And so we're living in this new world. We're living in this new kingdom. All the rules apply to us. All the opportunities apply to us. But maybe we are still figuring out what the customs are like. And that may be you in the Netherlands as well. Like so many of you are from different countries and you're living here. But it still feels a bit weird. You don't speak the language. You don't know the customs. Like, and you're adapting, like you're integrating. In that principle also applies to us becoming Christians. We're still learning to live this new life. It's a process where we're learning, where that new reality that we've already been immersed in, that new reality we've already been set in, we're learning to live that. We're learning how that actually changes our lives. It's a process. I was just thinking about this, how it's funny to be in a different culture for most of you are now in a different culture than where you grew up in, and how that can cause some trouble. And I was thinking, for example, about how do you greet someone else? Do you do it with a handshake? Do you do that with a hug? Maybe with a kiss on the cheek? Do you do it with a high five? Do you do it with a bow? There's so many different opportunities, and I've heard some guy once, not me, someone else, that went in for a kiss on the cheek, and the other person went in for a hug. and he ended up kissing an ear. So that was not me. That was someone else, I can tell you. But some friend, I just read it on Facebook one day. So And that's awkward. Like you think you're doing it right, but you're doing it wrong. So still better than you know, if the other person is going in for a high for a hug and you go for a high five. That's or for a bow. That's still better than for a kiss. But see, but what I'm trying to communicate with you is. We're learning to live under the constant influence of the Holy Spirit. And this is a lifelong journey. There's no one moment that you learn how to do this and then you know it. And that's it. And it may sometimes seem like other people have it all together, but they're also still learning. We're all still learning. We're all learning on this lifelong journey. So that's the bad news. You're going to have some need to have some patience. But not only patience, you also will need to be eager. You need to be receptive. You need to long for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to go for it. You need to make some choices for it. But you will also have to be patient. This is a journey. We're all still learning. So that's the bad news. What is the good news? The good news is the Holy Spirit doesn't always care about the process. He likes to every now and again invade this process and just do something completely unexpected. When you read through the book of Acts, you're seeing that the apostles were still learning, the new believers were still learning, but every now and again the Holy Spirit decides to completely break the rules, breaks the process, and just falls on people and does amazing things. He does that. Sometimes he just doesn't care about the process, but invades it. And this is what we call being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. When people are filled with the Spirit, they're able to jump forward in their process of growth and do things that they're actually that they weren't ready for before. This is one of the things that happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And this certainly also applies to the apostles. Today we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles. Up to that time, they were still called the disciples. They were disciples of Jesus. They were following him. They were learning. They were in this process of learning. It's very clear when you read the Gospels that they are learning. They are at some point Jesus asking them, "Who do you think I am?" And they come with all these things that people say, and then Peter says, "Like I believe that you're, you know, the Son of God. You're the Messiah." Thomas says at the resurrection, "Like my Lord, my God." So gradually this is setting in. They're starting to understand who Jesus is. They're starting to understand what the kingdom of God actually means. But even at the Ascension, in the book of John, it says that Jesus had spent 40 days with them between the resurrection and the ascension, talking about the kingdom of God. 40 days with Jesus, talking about the kingdom of God. And then at the ascension, they still ask, "Oh, are you now going to establish your kingdom here on earth, like the physical one?" And he's like, "No, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell you, that it's a heavenly kingdom that's coming down." So it's so clear that they're still learning, and they may have felt completely ill-equipped to do everything that Jesus was calling them to do. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit breaks through their growth process and enables them to do everything that Jesus was calling them to do. And so we're going to read the account in Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, this was a existing feast in the Jewish tradition. Maybe some other Pentecost day, I'll go into that. That's a beautiful application, like, but not today. We don't have time for that. And I didn't prepare for that. So, but when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, you remember that from earlier this week, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So the Holy Spirit was falling on each and every one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, actually languages, as the Spirit enabled them. So after this, they go outside, they start preaching, they start prophesying, a crowd gathers. The languages that they are speaking apparently are the languages that are represented on the main square right there, with people from so many different countries, mostly Jews that living in other countries, grew up in other languages. They come to worship for that feast, and they hear the disciples speaking in languages they know they didn't learn. It's their home language, and they're wondering, why are they speaking in my language? What is happening? What are they preaching about? What are they teaching? And then Peter gets up and he says, you know, this gift, this infilling of the Holy Spirit that we have received, this is not just for us, this is for everyone who believes. And he quotes the prophet Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. This gift, this infilling, or baptism, if you want to call it like that, of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, is for every single believer. And it's happening today. From today onwards, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And it's also that why we're celebrating baptisms today. Because on that first Pentecost day, when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, they went outside, they started preaching, and it says that 3,000 people became new believers that day, and they were all baptized. So they got a good workout, the apostles, on that day. And that formed the first church. They planted a mega church, so to say. And from that day onwards, the Lord was adding to their number every day. In this event and everything that follows in the book of Acts, we see that the infilling of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in the life, in the lives of the disciples. I would argue that from this moment, they moved on from being just disciples, just followers of Jesus, just, you know, learning from him, to be apostles, to be sent ones, to be sent into the world to expand the kingdom of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a step that some of us will still need to make. We're disciples already, we're learning, we're growing, but we have not made that step yet to be sent ones. But I believe God is calling all of us to be sent ones, to be apostles into this world. And the difference is the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, the apostles find themselves actually living out all the perplexing things that Jesus was teaching them about. And it seemed, when he said them, they seemed so impossible for them. But suddenly, they became possibilities, now that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember all the crazy things that Jesus said? He was speaking about moving mountains. Say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea and it will do it. He talked about making disciples of all nations. All nations? He talked about loving your enemy. How crazy is that? He talked about speaking in front of kings and rulers. Rather him than me. He talked about staying strong in faith, even through persecution. And then the craziest things of all that he said was this: even greater things than these you will do in my name. All of these things that seemed so impossible to the apostles. Like, I like a lot of what Jesus is saying, but sometimes it seems like he's lost his mind. He's not living in the real world or something like that. It seemed impossible to them. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they suddenly became possibilities. We call it faith. And from that, they became reality. Because indeed, in the book of Acts, we see even greater things than Jesus did in his name. And this is what the infilling of the Holy Spirit does to you and me as well. It gives a faith and a power that suddenly makes everything that the Bible is teaching, everything that the Bible is saying, it suddenly feels like a possibility. It suddenly doesn't feel like it applies to all these other people except for me. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you suddenly realize that applies to me as well. Jesus is calling me to do these things as well. The Holy Spirit is breaking through your normal process of growth. You make this enormous jump in it. Suddenly, everything is possible. I want to close off the message with, close off this series with the verse where we started. The theme verse is, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to read a couple of verses around that. In Ephesians 5, do not get drunk on wine or beer or rum or anything, vodka, whatever, don't get drunk, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not an expert on Greek, but I know that the words here used in be filled with the Spirit point to a continuing sense. Literally, it would be saying, go on being filled, or continually be filled. This is not, Paul is not speaking about a one-time event here, or a subsequent event to salvation, where you receive sort of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and then you're fine for the rest of your life. Like, now you're filled with the Spirit, go on from here, and be happy. But it's a continuing process of being filled with the Spirit, continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that applies to our lives in two ways. I know that a good sermon has 3 points, but I only have two. So please bear with me. Had to cut it short for today, huh? And the first one would be stay in tune with the Spirit. If you long for a life that's continually under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that you're continually filled with the Holy Spirit, and try to stay in tune with the Spirit. That means that the way that we live our lives, the choices that we make, and the way that we speak, the habits that we form, that they're healthy and that they're under His continuing guidance. That we live a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we think. And this means more than just walking away from sin. This also means living in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But even on from there, it also means that we have to make room for Him to speak to us. That we have to open our ears to what He is saying. It means that we kind of live with a constant awareness that the Holy Spirit might have something to say about what we're doing right now. And secondly, I think that continually be filled with the Holy Spirit also means that every now and again, we need a fresh infilling. We need a fresh moment where God breaks into our normal growth process and fills us with the Holy Spirit. We need moments like this. And I'm not encouraging you to become experience seekers, to make your faith all about you, to go to every available conference ever and to spend your time there and constantly be like, fill me with this, fill me with your Spirit. And you know those people, right? Like, every conference you go to, you're like, oh, yep, there they are. But sometimes I believe that God just needs to shake us up a little bit. Now, this is an example of how this works with the snow globe. Now, it was really hard to get a snow globe in this time of year, so you need to do with the picture, but you all know what it's like. With a snow globe, in the snow globe, there's this bit of snow on the bottom. It's there. You could say that the globe is actually filled with snow. You just don't see it. It's on the bottom. It's just lying there. But when you shake it, you suddenly see snow flying around for the next minute. And it's this beautiful picture. But you have to shake it in order to see the snow. And I think this is what God wants to do in our lives every now and again as well. We already have the Holy Spirit when we believed. He's there. He's speaking to us. He's guiding us. He's setting us free. He's doing all these things. He's speaking to us. Every now and again, God just wants to shake us up a little bit and powerfully move in our lives. That's what I believe is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When He shakes us up a little bit. When He encounters with us in a fresh way. A fresh encounter with Him. You know, there will be times when you experience as sort of a dry season. You know, we all go through these times, like a dry season. Like you feel like God is so far away, like there's this copper sky, like all your prayers just bounce back off the ceiling. You have no idea where He is. You're longing for Him. I think those times that we call dry seasons, they're an invitation from God to become even more desperate and to become even more eager to experience more of Him, to long more for Him, to become desperate. Longing for the Spirit really is understanding that what God is calling you to do, and He's got a wonderful purpose for each and every one of you. And he's calling you to greater things that you can imagine. In order to do these things, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And every now and again, he'll make you more aware of this. He'll bring you through a dry season so that you'll be eager to have a fresh encounter with him again, to be filled with his Spirit. And when I close it off there, if you feel like everything that I've been teaching in this whole sermon series does not completely apply to you, just want to ask you to ask God to give you his Holy Spirit, to fill you with his Holy Spirit today. I think it's in Luke that Jesus says, like God is a good father, like even your parents, you give good gifts to your children, but you're people, you're not God. Yeah, you're bad. You're born to do some nasty things as well. But God is perfect and God is good. And if you ask God for anything, he will surely not withhold his Holy Spirit from you. And that's his amazing promise of when we step out and when we open our hands and when we say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Was it Shanine that prayed that? And you're like, people telling me, that's what you should do. And she's like, okay. I think this is amazing. God will surely answer that prayer and he will fill you with his Holy Spirit.